three burning questions coming out of this week in WWE. Is Shane McMahon already a heel? Did Daniel Bryan just prove to us he's going to be a better heel than a babyface? And did WWE take it too far with Samoa Joe and Jeff Hardy? Let's talk about that.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast, the internet's most passionate wrestling analysis. That is this show. So if you like passion, you like real passion, you don't like manufactured passion, you like the real deal, well, you are at the right place at the right time. And I hope you enjoy the show. This is recorded as of Thursday, December 6th, 2018, in the evening. So those of you who are on the East Coast, it's about 9:30 as I record this at night. So yeah, late night. So most of you may be getting this. If you're a night owl, you'll be getting this. If not, you'll be getting it Friday morning for your listening pleasure on your way to work or at work or doing it instead of work. Whatever you want to do, just don't blame it on me. But I'm glad that you're here in whatever form you're listening to the show, whether it's on Spreaker, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or on Patreon, which I'd like to once again give a shout out and thanks to Chris Hamrick and Jonathan Falks, who are the latest on the Patreon side of things. And if you'd like to join them, you can do so. And what's the benefits, you ask? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to answer it whether you really asked or not. It is a ad-free version of the show and exclusive only episodes for the patrons of the show. I do exclusive audio only for those who are patrons of the show. And so if you hate ads and you love this show and you want more content, well, this may be a good fit for you. It's patreon.com/WWE Podcast. You can also find that on my Twitter feed and my bio as well. And I'm also, this feed that you're listening to now is also on Spotify and iHeartRadio, which is pretty damn cool. So lots of different places to catch this show. If you hate this show, it's going to be hard to avoid it. But I really do thank you for all for listening to the show. It's growing. It's growing fast. I'm very appreciative of everybody who is giving me feedback. And you can also come on the show if you are a patron of the show and you select a tier that does allow for that. You can get on the show and I can talk about whatever you want for a half hour or longer. Really, I think that's a pretty cool thing. Or whatever else that you'd like to talk about WWE wise, got to keep it WWE wise. And I think that that's appropriate given the name of the show. So at the top of the show, guys, I had three burning questions that I posed to you. And that is Shane McMahon already a heel? Now, I know Shane did not take up a lot of SmackDown Live this week. He didn't. But what is the end game of this whole Shane McMahon saga? He wins the World Cup. Okay. He is the sole survivor on the SmackDown Live team. That's embarrassing in and of itself. And I know we're moving on to TLC. Survivor Series is in the rearview mirror. I get it. But what's the end game with Shane? Where are we going? He's backstage, disinterested in the show, always on his phone texting. And I know that's the default that WWE goes to every time they cut to a general manager backstage, that they're always just preoccupied with their phones. You know, boy, that's not really becoming of, you know, being in charge of one half of the WWE programming, major programming. I know there's NXT and tons of other specials. I'm talking about the two large programs that they have on television, and that is SmackDown Live and Raw. And the general managers are always on their phones. Kurt Angle was culprit A number one as far as the always, whenever they got a cut to somebody, why would a cameraman be backstage filming the general manager on his phone anyway? I guess we're just supposed to overlook all these things. But The problem I have is just always the same. And you have Shane McMahon now, 2 weeks in a row, backstage, next to a trophy that he says he doesn't deserve and regrets the decision he made to win and made a joke of the whole tournament itself. And yeah, it was under the black cloud of Crown Jewel that, you know, we don't need to discuss. We all know the story behind that. And so what is the end game here? Shane's there on his phone, disinterested, but yet next to his trophy. And you have The Miz coming in trying to be Shane's partner. And we all thought The Miz turned face. We all learned that that is not the case. He is still a heel. I don't know, WWE knows, but that is the latest version of The Miz as heel. The Miz is just dying to be with Shane McMahon, dying to be his tag team partner, saying that he is 2/3 of the cup and Shane McMahon is 1/3 of the cup. So they need to be tag team partners. Why? Why? Why would a performer, wrestler, excuse me, I don't want to have any corporate speak come out of my mouth. Why would a wrestler want to be tag team partners with Shane McMahon? Outside of the fact of, okay, you become buddy-buddy with him. He's in a position of power. Maybe he can give you favors that he would not normally give anybody else who he is not currently aligned with. But you take that out of the equation, and you have a guy that's a part-time at best. Maybe once in a while guy that just shows up, just jumps off of high places, does high-risk stuff, is not a skilled performer in any stretch of the imagination. He has his one move of coast to coast. He's in decent shape for his age. That's not the problem. The problem is that they're positioning Shane McMahon as an equal. They're positioning Shane McMahon as an equal to the wrestlers on the roster. It's nonsense. It's crap. You have Shane McMahon who we all, a couple of years ago, just belittled and really shamed the Undertaker versus Shane McMahon Hell in a Cell match. None of that made any sense anyway either. I don't want to get into that. That was too long ago. Then you have Shane McMahon more recently at WrestleMania 33 facing AJ Styles. And nearly beating AJ Styles, one of the best in the world, no pun intended, but literally, not just a marketing slogan for a trophy that means absolutely nothing. I'm talking about actually one of the best in the world, and we're supposed to believe that Shane McMahon is toe-to-toe with this man and has a chance to beat this man. And then you have Shane participate in two back-to-back Survivor Series elimination matches between Raw and SmackDown, a feud that means nothing to begin with. And then he wins the World Cup in extremely controversial fashion. Regularly gets physically involved. I don't understand the end game with Shane. So all of that I just gave you a backstory of, adds up to what? It's like giving somebody a math equation that they can't solve. You know, it's like saying, well, it's X squared plus Y divided by the log of a imaginary number equals X. That is what we're getting from WWE. And then it's saying in parentheses, solve for X. Show your work. That is essentially what we are getting from WWE with Shane McMahon. I have no idea. None. I don't think they know. I don't think they know what to do with it. So that is, and ultimately to answer my own question from the top of the show, I think Shane McMahon is already slowly turning heel. I don't know if it's intentional by WWE, but it's happening organically from the fans' reaction. And how do I know that? Am I attending every live event? No. Am I there in person? No. Am I talking to people backstage? No. But you know how I know? By using my eyes and ears and taking my knowledge of a 20-year observer of the product. And I know many of you are beyond that, but 20 years is still pretty damn good for a sample size to understand the WWE product and how they think and book. And saying the fans are not going to continue to support Shane McMahon much longer. He's sticking his nose where it doesn't belong, making a mockery out of matches that he's in. He's not that skilled of a performer to begin with. He's in his 50s. And he's a man that we're supposed to believe that is not a regular wrestler, that is of equal footing in almost every case that he, in every match that he's in, that he's, we're supposed to believe that. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So that's my Shane McMahon question. Now, if you guys listen to my quick show earlier today, it was about 5 minutes long. You guys know the brilliance that I feel Daniel Bryan has brought to the microphone on SmackDown Live. I loved it. I know maybe many people were confused by it, don't know where they're going. Some people not understanding. What's there not to understand? It's very simple. Daniel Bryan is on his high horse for being a vegan. This is only a piece of it, but the latest development, which I like, is Daniel Bryan being on his high horse, looking down upon us, those of us who are not vegans, for using our plastic water bottles and supporting farming that pollutes the air. It's genius stuff. I really loved it. It made me, because we all know, maybe know somebody, or scroll through your social media feed and you see somebody, whoever, if they're vegan, you know they're vegan. Why? Because they make sure to remind you 8 times a day through their social media posts. And he's taking that, Daniel Bryan is taking that to the extreme. And I'm loving it. He has to wear his, you know, vegan sweater. He's talking about his vegan food. And that we are polluting the atmosphere. I loved it. And I know this is just one promo, but I think that slowly, since his turn, Daniel Bryan has been winning myself over and fans over. You know how I know? He's not being the cool heel. He's not getting that positive reaction even when he's being cast as a heel, because he's going for real heat. He's not going for the cool reaction. And I believe that Daniel Bryan, if done correctly, and so far so good, could be a hotter heel and draw more money as a heel than he did as a babyface. That's saying a lot. I understand that. For everything that happened with the Yes Movement to the organic connection that you can't manufacture. Well, if it's organic, you can't manufacture it, obviously, right? But it's a connection that just can't be forced. It can't be written. It has to just happen. And that's what Daniel Bryan had with the fans. And now you fast forward, and obviously Daniel Bryan was a heel with AJ Lee all those years ago when the infamous Sheamus bro kick to Daniel Bryan in that 7-second match or whatever it was at the time. He ends up losing. And from there, the Yes Movement seemed to really take off. You have Daniel Bryan now, all these years later, that much smarter, that much better at psychology to really understand what gets under people's skin. We've had a chance to cheer him, and he started to get stale. No question about it. And now he has turned, and he's all in. And his body language is, to me, even more importantly than his words, which are still well articulated and well written or well rehearsed, or even maybe it's just half off the top of his head. Whatever it is, it's working. It's his demeanor. It's the unspoken language that he's communicating with, and what comes through your TV screen or your iPad or whatever device you're watching the show on. That's what really speaks to us and makes the real connection of I love or hate this guy. Right now, it's this guy's really annoying. Somebody just kick his ass. That's what I like. That's what I miss as a wrestling fan. And Daniel Bryan gets it. So from week to week now, I'm looking forward to what Daniel Bryan has to say, how much heat he can draw before he finally gets caught by AJ Styles, or after he moves on from AJ Styles, whoever that may be. And to be honest, beyond AJ Styles, I don't know who they're moving on to. The babyface roster is so thin on both shows. It's scary. More so Raw than SmackDown. on SmackDown? As far as singles competitors go, AJ Styles, you got Rusev, okay, you got Jeff Hardy. But really, then what? Shinsuke turned heel. Miz is still heel. You know, so I don't know. I don't know where they go. Lars Sullivan is probably going to end up on Raw. I know that people are speculating he should be the monster of SmackDown and be the counterpart to Braun Strowman on Raw, but I think he could end up on Raw. I don't know if he's going to be end up being a heel or a face. WWE has proven that they have a massive problem when it comes to creating a real babyface in 2018 that the fans will go along with. Because every time WWE produces a babyface, it comes off as forced. It comes off as pandering. It comes off as inauthentic. And WWE cannot get out of their own way when they try to produce these babyfaces in a boardroom, in a meeting room, and have it be successfully executed. Show me a success story, a true success story, not a flash in the pan. I'm talking a successful babyface in 2018 that they have successfully executed. Tell me. It's scary. It's plain scary. How many stars have turned heel over the last year? 6, 7? And major stars? Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton? I mean, you have stars that you never thought were going to turn heel, but God forbid we turn Roman heel. Right, that's just a no-no. And I understand he's off TV, but if the leukemia thing wasn't a thing, you know WWE would just inexplicably not go there for whatever ridiculous reason. God, he's not even on TV anymore, and I'm still complaining about it. sad. Okay, now the other issue I wanted to talk about, and that I brought up at the top of the show. See, I actually don't use that top of the show to hook you guys in. I actually answer the hook. So you guys get what you pay for, or if you're not paying, that's cool too. But the third topic I wanted to talk about was, did Samoa Joe take it too far on SmackDown Live? Really? We're really going there, guys. People are talking about this. Major podcasts are talking about this. Fans are talking about this. Come on, folks. Really? Did Samoa Joe take it too far? Because what? He's in a bar. And we all know that Jeff Hardy had addictions, drug addictions, alcohol problems. And it was well documented during his WWE career. And he went to rehab several times. And he's been clean for a while now. So, I mean, look, congratulations to him. I'm happy for him. But now people are wondering, did WWE go too far? He was in a bar. Oh, my God. Now Samoa Joe's making light of a real life issue. I'm not understanding what the deal is here. Okay, take away the fact of maybe sponsors may feel it's too edgy. Oh, it's too edgy. They're touching on something that could be real. Oh my goodness, don't even get me started with that. So we're going to put that and table that on the side here. We're going to take that off. We're going to take it off the table. We're going to put it on the floor. We're going to put it on the floor. We'll pick it up in a minute. But we're going to take that part of it out. We're going to talk about what the fans are thinking and people that actually may think they took this too far. Fans, not the sponsors yet, the fans. You're telling me that WWE, anytime now that they pull in something that could be real, that, oh my goodness, well, I knew somebody who overdosed on alcohol or has a real problem with alcohol, and, well, they, you know, they're in AA meetings or they, I just can't handle this. Really? Okay, so is any show on TV, any successful show, any drama that's not a kid's show, any drama that you watch, not touch on a real issue? Are we supposed to be that concerned about, this may touch a real life issue and I want to be immersed in a fantasy land? Well, you know how you get immersed in a fantasy land and get people engaged? You bring in real issues, because then it makes it authentic. It doesn't put it in a fantasy land that feels like a fantasy. It feels like a fantasy land that you question, like, wow, can they do that? Can that be real? And that's when you're engaged. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I applaud WWE for going there. Why not? They did it with CM Punk and Chris Jericho 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever it was, when they faced each other at WrestleMania, and Chris Jericho ended up pouring liquor all over CM Punk before their match at WrestleMania. So what? So what? And people are saying, well, what if they go to a marijuana place next? What if they, oh, well, oh my goodness. So wait a minute. We're supposed to be now offended by legal substances and having wrestlers go to these places where it's legal to draw heat and poke fun at Jeff Hardy, who he had a real life issue with it, but that's over with. So what? I applaud WWE for doing this. Grow up, folks. Grow up. Are we that sensitive? Are we that concerned about, well, it might strike a nerve? Oh, well, guess what? This is life. This is life. You want to be engaged and we're all complaining about a product that was eye-rolling, channel-changing, because it doesn't feel real, doesn't feel authentic. Oh, but when it makes, oh, when they pull in something real, oh, wait, no, I don't want, I don't want that. Oh, my God, no, no, close my eyes. I don't have a spine. I don't know how to deal with real life. Grow up. Grow up. Really? Are we that sensitive that we can't deal with a product that is still based in a fantasy environment? Don't forget that, folks. That brings in a real issue that happened. Come on. Really? I hope Samoa Joe goes to a legal marijuana dispenser next week. Or shows up at the pharmacy. I really do. I hope he does. I think that'd be entertaining. I'd love it. And maybe this is my morbid sense of humor. I don't give a damn. What is wrong with people? Really? Come on. Are we? Oh, this society is so soft. It's so soft. Okay, now you bring in the sponsors. I'm going to pick that up off the ground and place it back on the table. So now we address the fans that are all sensitive about it and think it's went too far, which is absolutely ridiculous. So now you have the sponsors. So I'm gonna take it down a notch. So WWE is a business. I get it. I'm a little more understanding with the fact of sponsors viewing the product and how WWE portrays what they do, and how what they present on TV is representative of the sponsors that support WWE, give them money. I get it. I understand that. But the sponsors need to also understand, if they engaged in a contract with WWE, of what WWE exactly is. This is not Reading Rainbow or Barney and Friends. This is a wrestling product that at times, and it's TV PG, no longer TV 14, and I absolutely recognize that. But this is a product now that it still is PG, parental guidance, meaning there are occasionally instances and situations that require a parent or guardian to be present to navigate the content that WWE puts out, to maybe explain to their individual, their son, daughter, whatever, of what's going on, and maybe explain to them of what's happening in real life. Okay? So things like this can happen, and I don't think it took it over the edge. Samoa Joe didn't even drink the beer, so they can't say that there was alcohol consumption on SmackDown Live. He poured the beer. So they actually stopped short of it. I don't get it. And by the way, wrestling, this is a little bit of a sidebar. I love this whole phrase of sports entertainment. That WWE is about sports entertainment. It's not about wrestling. Sports entertainment's not a thing. Think about that. Sports entertainment. It's a sport that's for entertainment. So what is that sport that is for entertainment? Wrestling. Ding, ding, ding. It's professional wrestling. So when you have Vince McMahon saying, well, we don't do professional wrestling. That's what my father did. Really? Okay. So what exactly is sports entertainment? Is it the terrible comedy segments? Or is it the actual in-ring product that's the lifeblood of WWE? And what do you call that in-ring product? Sports entertainment's not a category of a it's not a category of anything. It's just saying what the effect of this sport is. It's entertainment. It's for entertainment. But you can't just say WWE is a sport. Well, what kind of sport? Professional wrestling. So is it professional wrestling entertainment? No, because professional wrestling is by default. It's inherently entertainment. So does anybody see where I'm going with this? I don't know how to break it down better than that, but sports entertainment's not a thing. Professional wrestling's what they do. Entertainment is what happens when you watch professional wrestling, in theory. So, I don't know. I just, this corporate lingo just sometimes boils my blood. So those are just those three questions, guys, and that I wanted to address because I think it's worth talking about. Three things that really just got to me this past week in WWE. So I want to touch on a couple of the major things here. And this whole triple threat with Asuka, Charlotte, and Becky. I really don't have a whole lot more to add to my theory of how this whole thing's going to go down. And if you haven't heard my theory, it goes like this. TLC, Asuka or Charlotte, wins the women's championship, freeing Becky from the belt, which is a good thing. Why? Because it leads to Becky entering the Women's Royal Rumble and thereby winning the Royal Rumble and thereby facing and choosing to face Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. So that's how they get there. I think it's a pretty straightforward path. And I would not choose any other path. I do not want a triple threat with Charlotte and Becky and Ronda. I want a one-on-one. Because we've seen Charlotte and Ronda. I don't think that feud's over either. Ronda's got a lot of programs lined up for her that we all want to see, and that's a great thing. Right now, the one we have not seen yet is Becky versus Ronda. And we got teased at Survivor Series. Becky had the injury. We didn't get to see it. And it's still simmering under the surface. We still all want to see it. And I think that's how they get there. I don't know why we need to overcomplicate this and figure out 40 scenarios. I still feel very confident in that. So to those of you that are going to flip out when Becky loses the championship at TLC, take a deep breath and realize that this is a step in the right direction for a larger goal of getting to WrestleMania to face Ronda Rousey. So I don't think there's any scenario in which if Becky keeps the belt, they could face each other because Ronda's not dropping the belt either. You can't make a champion versus champion because unless it's a unification match, but then if it's a unification match, you can't. What are you going to unify the brands again? You can't do it. Or you just have a non-title match, but why would you do that to devalue both belts, not give two separate championship matches for it? To me, it doesn't make sense. So I think it's Ronda wins the Royal Rumble. Or I'm sorry, Becky wins the Women's Royal Rumble, chooses to face Ronda Rousey, and we're off to the races of a 2-month build for it. And I can't wait for it. I think they could really build off of it. And one thing too about Becky's whole demeanor. I've said this before, I will say it again. WWE stepped into this massive babyface turn of Becky Lynch by trying to turn her heel because the fans wanted no part of her turning heel. But what made her so damn hot as a babyface that was cast as a heel is that she had that edge. She had that demeanor, that nasty edge, that unpredictability of you don't know where she's going to show up or who she's going to beat up. There's no need to change a thing. Obviously, I mean, if I would not have her attack the fans, right, and demean the fans, but I wouldn't change a damn thing. Why? And I don't think, and I hope WWE is not dumb enough to do this, of having her come out and smile like Ronda does every time she comes out, regardless of how badly she's got her ass whooped the night before, come out smiling like, you know, it's her first birthday. It's ridiculous that Ronda didn't sell that beating from Charlotte at Survivor Series, didn't even limp, didn't come out in a cast, didn't come out and taped up, came out like it was her first night in WWE, and she's just so happy to be there. There's no need to have Becky do that and smile and kiss babies and make out with fans, okay? There's no need for any of that. Becky needs to do exactly what Becky's been doing. No smiling. Don't come out with those ridiculous goggles. I may even change her music. I really would. I would change her music to something more edgy. I think that it's time she's turned that corner where she's earned it. And I think that it would become established in the mind of fans if they were to find something a little more edgy and a little more hard for Becky's turn, other than that happy-go-lucky kind of stupid goggles she would wear. I hated those things. Even when I was behind Becky, her entrance was, I was never a fan of it. But so that's what I think about Ronda and Becky and how they get there. And the whole Shane McMahon situation, which I've addressed. And obviously you have Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe, which, again, I'm a fan of. And the Daniel Bryan promo. Raw, there really wasn't a whole lot to talk about. There really wasn't. I mean, Alexa Bliss, I think, is doing a nice job as the temporary head of the women's division. I think she's doing a solid job. I don't know what's going on with her and Baron Corbin. I don't get it. As far if there's some kind of romantic storyline going on there, I hope not. I think Alexa would be a much better figurehead of Raw to run the whole GM role than Baron Corbin is, to be honest with you. They had a Bayley Sasha segment 2 Q&A. Enough. It's painful, folks. We don't need to see plants in the crowd recite their questions that WWE Creative have told them to ask and have this forced, oh, we want to be the first women's tag team champions. That was a whole forced, and by the way, you guys know that. The signs that we saw in the crowd last month were signs that WWE made and handed out to a couple of fans that they had and made sure that they were on the camera side. If you notice, they're also in the same spot. So they're trying to force a fake fan movement, which is bizarre. And so they had Becky or Bayley mention it on Raw that they expect to be the first ever women's tag team champion. So that's coming down the line. And you know what? I'm cool with it. I'm fine with it. But don't pretend that it was a fan movement. And I don't know. I am not a fan of Bayley and Sasha at all right now. I think that they are obnoxious, attacking Alexa really for no reason. So, all right. Let's see here. I'm going through my notes. Drew McIntyre, folks. Drew McIntyre, could he be clearly any more on the path to the main event? And that's not a bad thing. I think sometimes that we look at predictability as, that's just too damn predictable. You know what? If it's a good predictable and it's something you want to see, does it always have to be a surprise? No. I think Drew McIntyre in the main event is where he belongs. This guy's a journeyman. He has cut his teeth in the independents and in other wrestling promotions. And he's now in the big leagues. And he knows who he is. He's comfortable with who he is. He's changed his look, changed his body, upped his promo game. This guy is the complete package. He really is. He really is. And I am in sync with him getting the rocket push right now. I think he's got all the tools. It's not a green guy a la Roman Reigns coming up from the NXT roster. This is a guy that in the non-territory days now is as close to a territory guy that you can find. And he has, from everything I'm hearing, a hell of a work ethic. And he has that it factor. So him facing Dolph Ziggler on Raw was cool. having Finn Balor interfere to have Ziggler get the win. I don't know. I could do without Finn Balor smiling like, you know, he won the spelling bee in grade school. I'm not a fan of Finn Balor. I'll be honest. I'm like one of the few people that aren't Finn Balor fans, at least from a character perspective. His in-ring work is another story. It's his character I hate. Can't stand it. I think it's pandering. It's this... I'm going to just be quiet, but I'm not a fan of his character, but I love his in-ring work, which is kind of contradictory. But having Ziggler essentially turn babyface, okay, you have a lukewarm babyface now that Ziggler's going to, I think, maybe go back to where he was, because where do you put Ziggler after this feud with McIntyre's over? It's puzzling. The other thing maybe I want to touch on, Dean Ambrose coming out in the gas masks, and he had this basically probably local wrestlers that were dressed up in gas masks, and Dean was wearing that Bane jacket. I actually didn't mind it. I really didn't hate Monday Night Raw like the rest of the world did. I really didn't. This was the lowest rated Raw of all time. I think it's a product of a couple of things here. Number one, okay, the product isn't as hot as it was. Number two, it's holiday season, and everybody seems to take a snooze, especially the creative team. It's like the creative team's slumber in the month of December. We all know this. And the fact that people watch it on delay. Not everybody is using, live TV as their only means of watching WWE. We have Hulu. I'm a Hulu guy. I watch the 90-minute version of Raw. So... there's that. Okay. There's lots of other means of watching WWE Raw. Some of them legal, some of them not, right? So all of that needs to be taken into account. With that being said, having the lowest rated Raw of all time is still not a good look for the company. So, let's see what else here. Having Drake Maverick out there with Authors of Pain. I'm just glad he didn't pee on something this week. That was a nice thing to see. That was nice that he did not. Drake Maverick's urine in one form or another was left off of Raw. That's a positive. Rhino retired. Heath Slater becomes a referee. I really don't know what to say about that. Other than Heath Slater as a referee could be actually entertaining. As much of a demotion as this actually could be a blessing in disguise for Heath Slater, who needs something, anything, to just change up what he's doing. To be honest, I mean, really, something. And really, guys, that's all I have to talk about. I mean, as far as the Ronda Rousey, Ember Moon, and Nia Jax, Tamina match, I think this was, and it was reported that Vince McMahon had changed things last minute for the Houston fans, obviously, with George H.W. Bush passing away. To make the crowd go home happy. So, I mean, that was literally what was reported, and I don't really know if that's true or not, but Ronda Rousey and Ember Moon win. So, after she gets the armbar on Tamina, and that was the Raw of the night, and not the most noteworthy. Slowly moved some storylines forward, and I will say this, one last thing in closing. Can WWE please, stop making their baby faces look like total jack wagons. I mean, really. And what I mean by that is, how many times are we going to see the baby face being distracted by something that's going on the screen and then end up having their opponent hit them with a finish to get the pin? Bobby Roode happened when Drake Maverick peed on his jacket in the middle of a tag team championship match. And Jeff Hardy this past week with the whole Samoa Joe at a bar thing, which I've discussed at length, getting distracted. And then why would he turn his back to Randy Orton, a guy that he knows knows like the back of his hand, to never turn his back on Randy Orton for what, a video that's going on TV or on the Titantron? Come on. There's got to be something else. It makes the baby faces look like fools. Fools. And you wonder why the audience can't get behind them. Because they can't relate to that. It's not somebody you want to get behind that's that stupid. To be a professional athlete in the middle of competition, be distracted by A, music, or B, a video on the screen. And one more thing while I'm on my bit of a soapbox. Asuka, relax with the facial gestures. It's bizarre. It's distracting. She seems to be improving her English, and she's supported by the fans, and I think she's one of the greatest wrestlers that WWE has. No question about it. But relax with your over emotion, excess of your ability to emote your emotions. I don't know how to explain it. She overdoes her facials, and it's very weird to watch. It takes me out of the moment. It's almost as if she's overacting, and so I'd say tone that down, please. Please. Thank you. All right. So, guys, thank you for joining me again. If you want this ad-free, hate ads, go to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Also, give me a like on I'm actually on my Facebook, too. I'm working on my Facebook page there. You can follow me on Apple Podcasts. Please give me a rate and review if you have a moment. It seriously helps out the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of it. All of it's available on any place that you go, anywhere you have your mobile device, whether it's Android, iOS, whatever you have, a Google phone, all of these are available to you for your listening pleasure. So guys, thank you for joining me again. I'll be back later this week. I know it's a Friday or a Thursday, almost Friday, but I'm going to be doing a podcast this weekend as well, and looking to get some of you guys on the show, because it's always good to hear another voice other than mine, right? So guys, thank you. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.